The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together. I had my eyes open. This was after I'd been in the parish as a pastor for a couple of years. A book that I had been required to read during my seminary training, and I read it dutifully, but completely failed to understand. And I know I've mentioned this before, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Life Together. I reread it because I was looking for something to base a Bible study on in the parish, and suddenly my eyes were opened. I realized that the Christian life together is not just people living together in close proximity trying to get along. It is essentially different. It is a different life altogether. And, well, I think the church has lost this. We look at our life together as any other institution would, as any other club or social set would, and we miss what the life together we have really is. Joining us to talk about the Christian life together on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Bart Day. He's Executive Director of the Office of National Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of an article in the latest issue of For the Life of the World magazine titled Life Together Gift. Bart, welcome back.
Hey, thank you very much. It's wonderful to be with you.
This Christian life together, whose life is it?
I think when the Catechism says, in talking about the benefits of eating and drinking Christ's body and blood, that these words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us it in the sacrament. Forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there's also life and salvation. That life is His life. It is the gift of life that He brings in His condescending to earth, in His glorious incarnation. It is the life that He lives in perfect obedience to the law. It is the life that He willingly bears without sin, yet becomes sin. And it is the resurrected and ascended life that He gives to the church in His word and in His life-giving sacraments. So it really is His life that then in those sacraments join us together as the body of Christ, so that our life together is always centered in His life.
I remember, and I mentioned this a moment ago, reading Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Life Together. You mentioned this in your article in For the Life of the World as well. One of the insights that I found there that has forever changed the way I think about all Christian life together is Bonhoeffer insisting on the fact that we cannot have unmediated relationships with each other as Christians. That love without the mediation of Christ between two people always seeks to possess its object rather than to serve its object. And he painted this picture of just talking about two Christians together. Christ must always be between them, or it will all come to ruin. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, well, I'm like you. I had to read that book, I think, in maybe even the very first quarter of seminary education and, like, you know, pastoral theology or something. And so you read this book. As you dutifully read all these books, you're an excited seminary student, and, like, it didn't get it at all. It was, like, totally over my head. It's one of these things that I think you have to live sort of in the life of the parish to get. So I've appreciated kind of reading it and rereading it several times over the past several years. But you're right. I mean, he talks about that the relationality between two people apart from Christ is always rooted in one having power and dominion over the other one in a very negative way. And only when they see each other through the eyes of Christ are they truly able to embrace each other for who they truly are, which Bonhoeffer would say is complete sinners who are redeemed by Christ. And so without that peace, without Him as the lens and the mediator between the two, the sinful fallen flesh completely takes over, and we just live in sort of power struggles of who can dominate who. And it is a horrible place if that's where people are even trying to live inside the church.
I mean, this has implications, doesn't it? Even for things like marriage and family. People talk about having a Christ-centered marriage or a Christ-centered family in some very undefined way, rather than thinking of it in terms of Christ has to stand between me and my wife.
No, absolutely. If it's just about a relationship between each other apart from Christ, then the relationship will be very shallow. But when Christ is in the center, then it allows husbands and wives to really talk to each other in ways of confession and absolution and understanding whose they are in Christ, and then the relationship that they each share. First of all, you know, that they submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and then wives are loving their husbands and husbands are loving their wives, but they're submitting to one another out of reverence for Him who is to be the heart and center. And without that in a family, without the ability to honestly look at each other through the eyes of Christ, to see each other as sinners who are then baptized children of God, who are hearing His word, receiving the sacrament of His body and blood, it leaves us in a horrible mess because there's no way out. And not that Christian families aren't as messy as every other family, but they've been given the gift of forgiveness of sins, His life, His salvation, which is able to completely change their relationships with one another.
You quote from a very common prayer. In fact, we just prayed it last night in the parish where I serve after the Lord's Supper. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. You started out talking about the life that comes to us through the Lord's Supper. Why did you quote that prayer?
I think it's beautiful because too often our life together and how we live in love toward one another can degenerate into the law, and it can find its kind of basis in life apart from Christ. And I think for the church, that prayer just so anchors us that we've received this salutary gift. We've received all that we need. We've received forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. We've received the seal of immortality. I mean, we're eating His body because as His body is even now, so our bodies one day will be. So when you start there and you move away from that to something else, I think you have a problem. So, I mean, you start there and you remain there. And so it's that salutary gift that then leads us in faith toward Him. And it is that very salutary gift that actually is the love that we share for one another. I mean, He is love. It's not just an abstract thing. So we're not talking about this emotional feeling. It is love in who He is. It's service and self-sacrifice. And so the only way we can have that kind of love for one another is to be joined to the one who truly is love itself and is giving us that love in the sacrament of the altar. I think you got to stay there when we just say, well, we had it, and we'll move on to better things. It becomes ethic, morality, law, whatever it is. It's not Jesus.
Is part of the problem, then, that the church has at times, and especially today, tried to have community, tried to have a communion, a life together, apart from Sunday morning, or without centering it on Sunday morning, what Christ brings through His word and sacraments?
Yeah, I think that they've done both. And I think you can have community apart from just Sunday morning, but the second thing that you say is most important, but it's not anchored in Sunday morning. I think the parish, for all of its activity, for all the life and love that it shares with one another, to its own members, that it shares outside of its community, whatever day of the week that takes place, that has to be done as a living out and the person and work of Christ that's being brought in the divine service, and particularly in the sacramental eating and drinking, that is the very anchor of all of that communal life that is taking place. And that should shape it. I mean, when we've talked about this witness, mercy, and life together, I mean, you just cannot break those things apart. They simply flow from one another. And I don't know that there's one that's just sort of the start and one that's the end, but they sort of live in this, you know, economy of the Trinity, this self-giving love of one to the other, so that the witness, mercy, and life together just continue to come from the cross, be anchored in the cross, come, you know, to it and back to it and from it. It's all has to revolve around there. And I think you're right. If churches go off the deep end about doing community service and having life together that is not anchored in the truth of the word and sacraments and doesn't find all of its life and its actual motivation for those things coming from Christ, then they typically fall apart. They fall short, or people become discouraged because they lose sight of fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, and they start running after some other goal that is not Christ.
So with about a minute before we take a break, how do you tell the difference between a communion that is just like-minded people who get along and have things in common and this life together that you're talking about a minute before we go to break?
Well, I don't know that it's easy to tell the difference, but if I were to look for external things, I would look for the marks of the church. I would look for the place where the word is being taught and preached in its truth and purity, where the sacraments are being administered according to Christ's institution. I would look for people who are gathered there confessing their sin. I would look for external marks of the church that probably suffering and hatred is going to befall them for actually preaching the gospel and its truth and purity. Those are the only things that I think that we can look to, the places where Christ himself has promised to be. That's where he will create the community.
Pastor Bart Day is Executive Director of the National Office of Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. When we come back, another 10 minutes with him talking about Christian life together. He's also authored an article in the latest issue of For the Life of the World magazine titled Life Together Gift. We'll talk about how God not only creates this life together among us, but he gives it freely as a gift right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Thanks to Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastor Richard Boland is the pastor there. They're part of the Issues Etc. 300. This is our congregational sponsorship program. What it means is a congregation decides that outside its doors it wants to support what is the worldwide mission of Issues Etc. by including Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget. It's very simple to do. $1,000 or more per year for the congregation is fairly easy to do if you spread it out over a whole year and a whole congregation. So your congregation could also become part of the Issues Etc. 300. There are benefits like advertising on our website, on our air, and in the Issues Etc. journal. By the way, our Find a Church site is the list of the Issues Etc. 300, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Find out how your church can join the Issues Etc. 300. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click Support. There's a one-page flyer. You can download it, print it off, find out everything you need to know, then go ask your congregation to join the Issues Etc. 300. We're talking about Christian life together. Pastor Bart Day is our guest. One of the anxieties, the frustrations that I think Christian congregations face is the mistaken idea that we have to make this happen, that we have to put this together or create it. Talk about the relief that there is for Christians living together in that God gives this life together.
Yeah, isn't that the beauty of the law over against the gospel, thinking that we have to do something to make this or that we have to measure it against a certain standard, that if it doesn't live up to sort of our expectations and it's not really community or it's not really God-pleasing. I mean, the beauty of Lutheran theology as taught in Holy Scripture and the confessions is the freedom of the gospel, that our Lord Jesus is not stuck away up in heaven, that he is living and active. He is fully participating in the life and salvation and work of the church. He's the very heart and center of that work, and he graciously invites us to become his instruments, to be used as part of his work as he sees and wills, and he gives us these glorious vocations. So, I mean, there's this beautiful freedom for us as Christians, knowing that, you know, God's not just getting it started and then handing it over to all of us to figure it out. What a train wreck that'll be. God is starter and finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is with it all the time, inviting us to join with him in his work. He will bring to fruition whatever he wills.
So, contrary to popular belief and so much teaching, this isn't about us doing God's work, but this is about God permitting us to participate in his work, the work he does.
Yeah, I think it really is God's work. Now, it's wonderful that he uses us. I mean, it's amazing and wonderful that God uses human ordinary means. And just as God would condescend to take up human flesh, or just as God would use something as frail as words, which people can certainly use in the way of power to, you know, destroy and hurt and harm each other, he can use water or ordinary bread and wine. So he still uses those baptized children of God as part of the work in his service. And so I think it's wonderfully freeing and quite a glorious thing that it is God's work all the way through, and he invites us to be a part of that work. And that goes for evangelism too. I think it's wonderfully freeing, even the doctrine of predestination, which when you read that in the Lutheran Confessions, you know, this is sort of for the mature. It's for people who need to be assured in the gospel. Look, no one is going to hell because I'm not doing something. I'm pretty certain that the Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and I have not lost a single one of them. But that's a very different than to begin there with our Lord Jesus knowing his sheep and saving all those people through his word and us being invited to be a part of that work. That's wonderfully freeing, rather than being told, if you don't hurry up and do something, this is going to be the consequence, because God isn't going to be able to do it without you. I'm pretty sure that God is going to do everything without us, but he graciously invites us to be a part of that, and he uses us to do things. And that is wonderfully freeing, and I think that is the gospel motivation of Christ's life in us that then compels us and encourages us to share the gospel, to witness to the very ends of the earth, to do acts of mercy and love to the very least of these, with no strings attached, not expecting something in return, but simply because the love of Christ is compelling us. I mean, when you talked earlier about relationships and Christ in the middle, that's the way Bonhoeffer saw things. I mean, we use the example of husbands and wives and children. Think about the people that Bonhoeffer is saying that about. He's not talking about someone who loves him. Bonhoeffer was talking about seeing the person as Christ, the person who is actually bringing suffering and death upon him and countless others. And he even saw those people through the eyes of Christ. Now, that's an amazing thing to do that goes far beyond seeing the person whom we love as Christ. How about seeing those who hate us? How about seeing our enemies with the same eyes of Christ, knowing that Christ has died for those people and for their sin, even if they don't hold to the faith, don't believe?
I'm put in mind of the words that your boss, Pastor Matt Harrison, spoke at his election as the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, where he immediately started talking about, in the body of Christ, when one member suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoice. Talk about our life together as those who are knit together to suffer and to rejoice with one another. About a minute or so.
Yeah, because it's too easy to say if that part is suffering that it's not me. But the body has to function, each part in its uniqueness and its beauty and its glory, so that when one part is suffering, and President Harrison has used that quote also in the past about where, you know, when you go to the Lord's Supper, you have all of your burdens in your sack and you lay them down there. And when you get up from the altar, it's not as if they've disappeared, but now I pick up the sack of my brother and his burdens and his suffering will now become mine. So that when one part of the foot, you know, the body, the foot is hurt, you know, I don't just laugh or scoff or act as if I can function without the foot. The foot is a part of me, and so when it suffers, we all suffer together because we're all knit together in Christ. I put that other little Bonhoeffer quote in there about that to exclude the weak and the insignificant, maybe people that appear to be totally useless from the church, may actually mean the exclusion of Christ himself, because oftentimes Christ is knocking at the door in the poor and in the weak and in the insignificant, and what glorious opportunities we have to serve those parts of the body that we may think are somehow less than we are. And yet in Christ, we are all knit together and wonderfully made and knit and held together in him.
Well, normally at this time I would tell our listeners about our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, but I'm going to let you do it, Pastor Day. Tell our listeners about this great Bible study, Witness, Mercy, Life Together, and the DVD that accompanies it.
Yeah, it is a great little Bible study. In fact, our department just used it. The National Mission Department used it for several weeks as a Bible study. Al Culver put it together. I think you can still get it from CPH, either hard copy or you can download. You know, it just has five simple lessons, but really, people have asked me when I've been out on the road, you know, is this the new kind of slogan for Synod, or is this President Harrison's platform or something? That's not it at all. I mean, witness, mercy, life together is the very essence of Holy Scripture and who the church is and what the church does. And I think that talking like this and allowing this kind of talk to permeate everything that's happening at the Synod, everything that happens with districts and congregations and even in our relationships with one another, is really to kind of focus on Scripture and the gifts that Christ gives to his holy bride, the church. So I would really encourage the use of the Bible study. I would tell you that I don't think that you can get through one little chapter in just a one-hour Bible study. So if you look at it and say, oh, there's only five lessons, I think you probably have 10 or 15 weeks worth of material, lots of great stuff for a congregation really to kind of dig into and talk about the gifts that they're receiving from Christ and then how they are living together as the body in their community.
Okay, folks, you heard it. That's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November called Witness, Mercy, Life Together. It's both a Bible study book and a DVD. On the DVD, you will find the lessons as outlined by Pastor Matt Harrison, the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Witness, Mercy, Life Together, the book and the DVD. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Bart Day is Executive Director of the Office of National Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of an article in the latest issue of For the Life of the World magazine titled Life Together Gift. Bart, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. It's always wonderful to be with you. Have a blessed Advent.
You too. Well, when we come back, it's going to be Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to kick it off with Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. Two issues for her to address. First of all, the attitude of the in vitro fertilization industry, it's recently been in the press, toward children and women's health. That's a big concern. We'll talk about that. Also, we'll get a brief update on the legal challenge to California's natural marriage amendment, Prop 8, as it is called. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Terry Mattingly will follow her. We're going to talk about the media and defining Christian colleges. Colleges are having a hard time, especially when they have religious or denominational roots, hanging on to those roots or figuring out what it is they are vis-a-vis Christianity. Then we'll talk about liberal tolerance for the last half hour of Issues, Etc., with Dr. Frank Beckwith of Baylor University. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.